flu season, and so we've got an industrial strength Koshcast for you. We start in the Premier League, where Manchester United are so clueless against Chelsea that they make the invasion of Iraq look strategic and well planned. City suffer from loose stones, Liverpool continue to impress, and Swansea and Watford play out an epic No, I'm just kidding, we're not talking about that. We will, however, check in on La Liga, where the Bernabeu hosted Bilbao, Atleti suffer a severe shock, and it was a case of Munir yet so far for Valencia at the Camp Nou. An Italian Sommario takes a look at João Mario's Inter, Roma's scintillating form, and Milan's outstanding victory over Juventus. All this, Mumu of the Week, a special Toronto FC guest segment, and Stefan Quisling finish the move. Have a dig! Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and if I am Arsene Wenger, then to my right is my Steve Bold, Mohamed.
Oh, what an honor it is to be in very short shorts.
Yes. You have more hair than him, though.
Not for long. Not for long.
Well, you know, take it while you can.
Yeah.
Roche, you are...
Yes, sir.
I suppose you would be my Borough Primorac.
I humbly reject this because I do not want to be associated with Arsenal.
Right. Well, you've got no choice.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I just named you Borough Primorac. You're my coach and mentor.
Roche, it's okay. I mean, we're both useless anyways, because Arsene Wenger, we know, runs a very tight dictatorship. anything we say, it doesn't even matter. It has no value.
True. That's so true. Yeah. Well, in that case, let's move on to the quiz, shall we?
Yeah.
This quiz is brought to you by Stefan Quisling and the Open Sports app. What are you laughing at?
Stefan Quisling.
That's pretty good. Eh?
Yeah.
So yeah, Open Sports, if you don't know already, is a free app which you can download and look for, I guess, free kickabouts of. Yeah. Well, mainly we talk about it for soccer.
Yeah, you can play plenty of other sports on there.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
It's great.
Yeah, I've used it so many times. I've met so many new people.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Actually, it's a great idea. Which I'm always sitting there going, oh, I guess are they playing this weekend or not?
Yeah. Now you know.
All these people who've seen me in my mad soccer skills, you know, yeah. It's too bad that they aren't here to talk about it.
No, I know. True. So many.
Yeah. Anyway, opensports.ca. Go download it.
Okay, here we go. You ready for the quiz, guys?
Right. Alex? Yeah.
Wow. Alex, remind us of your buzzing.
Roche's gonna eat me. And
yeah. Roche?
That was easy.
All right, here we go. Question number one.
Yes.
How many Premier League teams are currently in London?
That was easy.
Roche?
13.
In London?
Oh, alone. Premier League, sorry. Yeah. 6.
You don't get a second choice. Alex?
Can I just name them?
No, you gotta say them. You gotta say how many right now. You got 2 seconds. One? Two, Roche. Wrong, Roche.
Four.
Wrong. Nope.
Five.
Nope.
Six.
Yes.
Ah!
Six, to be fair, who said five?
I said six.
I said five.
You said five, you said six. You're both kind of right because it depends on whether you include Watford or not.
Could have sworn I said six twice.
Yeah,
you
include Watford.
Yeah. All right, so we'll give you each half a point. In 2015, African champions were TP Mazembe. Which country are they from?
That was easy.
Roche.
Zimbabwe.
Wrong. Alex. I'm about to give options if you don't want to answer right now.
He has to answer.
Go on.
Okay.
Oh.
Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya, Uganda, or Angola?
Democratic Republic of Congo.
Well done.
All right. Question number three. Who is the Liverpool all-time leading goal scorer?
That was easy.
Roche.
John Toshak.
Wrong. Wrong. Alex.
Wait, is this multiple choice? Because I've got like two or three names.
Yeah, but this
head.
Is too easy. You gotta give me one now.
Yeah, you can't play this like the
Ian
last
Rush.
Wrong. Here's the options. Suarez, Owen, Gerrard, Fowler.
That was easy.
Fowler.
Well done. Gerrard is second, Owen is third. Suarez is fourth.
Gerrard's actually second?
Yeah, he just beat Owen by like a goal.
So why is Ian Rush a legend? No, I'm just kidding.
He was really good.
Yeah,
I think he was. I was just totally poking.
Last question, number four. I'm trying to read what it says here, actually. Oh, here we go. Ravel Morrison moved to Lazio in 2015. Which other Englishman played for this club? Alex.
Paul Gascoigne.
Well done!
Get in.
Wow!
Let's start, as we always do, with the Premier League.
Aye.
And we have a fantastic game
Why don't we ever start with the Dutch League?
That's a good question. We should do a poll and see how that goes with our listeners.
Yeah, kind of sneak it in there one day. You know?
Right, but you know what? I feel like starting with the Chelsea demolition of United.
All right, let's do it.
To be fair, they made United look like an Eredivisie side.
Yeah.
It's too bad Memphis Depay wasn't playing.
Yeah. Anyways, so I think just to give a bit of a background, Alex had asked us to predict this game before it started. Alex said 1-1. I think Roche said
0-0.
0-0. And I said 3-0 Chelsea.
You did, to be fair.
To which you were laughed at.
Of course. Yeah. Like, really? I'm like, really? So, game started, and 36 seconds in, we get our first goal from Pedro, who was playing instead of Willian. I'm not sure why, but it worked out. That was exactly why.
I can tell you why. Because Willian's mother or grandmother just died, and he was on bereavement leave.
That's terrible.
Same with Oscar, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, both happened in a week.
That's sad. But the game started, like we said, with the Pedro goal.
The game started at 1-0.
Yeah. With the ball from Marcus Alonso, there was no reason for it to get to Pedro. Bailly was like watching Smalling was watching Man way more than Ball. And he kind of just let him go through. Good first touch from Pedro, finish.
I think this first opening goal within 30 seconds was an encapsulation, a short summary of the whole game.
Sure.
Really, to be fair.
Mistakes from United.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows what the score is. It was 4-0 Chelsea. But, you know, from an objective point of view, you're talking about what exactly happened. And I think that if you look a little deep, you can see, okay, you know, maybe the extra game in midweek, Chelsea don't have a European fixture. Maybe they were up for it more. Maybe that had an effect. But besides that, I think United just poor, out of the blocks, completely flat-footed, paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, it set the tone for the game, that first goal. And you wonder what would have happened had that not been the start of the game. But it is what it is, and, you know, Chelsea went on from there.
I mean, you do wonder that maybe the game might have been different. That said, I didn't see anything from United in the rest of the game that suggested to me that they were capable of beating Chelsea.
Right.
They had a couple of chances. Mourinho referenced them in his post-game nonsense. But really, United going forward had very little to offer. Whereas Chelsea, when they broke forward, looked dangerous almost every time they had the ball, because the front three of Costa, Hazard and Pedro had so much pace and so much trickery about them.
Energy as well.
And they're so free. The beauty of Conte's 3-4-3 system is that Pedro and Hazard have so much freedom, because behind them you've got Conte and Matic, and you've got Moses and Alonso on the left. So there's four players behind them. They have total freedom.
That 4-2-1 that they looked like they were playing, Hazard and Pedro behind Costa, looked really good. And it feels like they've really started to get kind of familiar with that three defense kind of lineup that Conte wants to play. It looks like he wants to do it now, long term. Azpilicueta was an absolute monster this game. He looked so good.
He is very consistent.
Last podcast, we talked about when Terry comes back, if he plays right away, who's he going to replace? And we were thinking, is it Luis Cahill or Azpilicueta? And at this point, there's no way it's Aspi. Like, no way.
I mean, frankly, I know you think he automatically comes back into the team, and you would have thought that 2 weeks ago when Chelsea weren't in good form. If they keep playing like this, there's no reason to change anything.
Right.
Fully agreed. I mean, we were talking at the start of the season when there were a couple of 2-1 wins, you know, scrappy wins. They had three wins in a row, and I said on record that Chelsea will be up there this year. Now we're starting to see Conte's philosophy kind of coming into action.
They did go through a little bit of a dip during also that Arsenal loss and all that. But now, that was at the 4-3-3 times. At the 3-5-2 times with Conte now, they look much more secure. Moses looks like a whole new player. He's playing fantastically well. And to be fair, he's got the lungs on him to do it, right? Up and down.
Absolutely. And the thing is with players like Moses is you get a player who has never had a consistent run of games anywhere in his life, and you say, learn this new position. And he will do it, because he will do anything
to play
and be in the team and be an important and feel like an important part of the team. And the other thing about the wingbacks is that at times during that game, Chelsea were playing 5-4-1.
Right.
Without the ball, 5-4-1. Hazard and Pedro came back, dropped into a four with Matic and Kante, and United could absolutely not get through it. It was the lowest block of all low blocks.
Right. I think it's also a great sign when your team wins 4-0 and your main striker doesn't get a goal. Costa not scoring out of the four just shows that there's enough fluidity in that team. There's enough goal scoring from other areas that you don't need to rely on just Costa. I mean, not even an assist, I think. It was just, he played really well. It's not against him at all, but it just shows that it's a good sign for Chelsea fans if you can win 4-0 against United and Costa doesn't even have an assist or a goal out of those.
He does seem to have the tendency to get the ball and put his head down and just kind of run.
Yeah.
He does do that a lot.
Yeah. Chelsea were really good on the counter.
Let's talk about United a little bit. We focused on Chelsea, which, you know, they fully deserve. But United, they came in, Mata was on the bench and he started Rashford, Ibra, and who was on the right?
Lingard was on the right.
I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, as I said, if the game hadn't started 1-0, maybe there could have been a different storyline. Mm. There were spells of possession, but I mean, when you get the early goal, you sit back and you absorb the pressure. And that was a sequence that happened throughout the 90 minutes.
Yep.
And United, I think if they weren't so tired, maybe could have made a better match out of this.
The problem is United just didn't look good all season. Like, it doesn't look like, even coming into the game, that... I mean, they always have a chance, sure, but it just looks... Surely, if you were betting, like, you know, something a lot, like, something worth a lot to you, you would always put on Chelsea every time before the game. And United just don't look like they have it in them this season. It's weird. Ibra barely touched the ball.
Hasn't scored in 4 games now?
He looks very out of sorts, and he's missing chances that... I mean, we said this last week. Yeah. He's missing chances that you would think he would score. But I found United's tactics really, really weird. Because, yes, you've got Rashford and Lingard on the wings, presumably to provide the pace that Ibra doesn't give you on the break. Mm. And he really doesn't. Like, United sometimes try and break, and it's physically not possible, which is a problem, I think. But then you've got Pogba at 10... who looks completely lost. Doesn't know, he clearly doesn't understand the role, is what it looks like. And then behind him, you've got Fellaini and Ander Herrera. Herrera, I'm fine with. Fellaini does whatever he does. But here's the thing. If you're going to spend most of... United's chances came from crosses. Mostly Valencia crossing towards Ibrahimovic.
You know.
If that's going to be your main threat, then put Fellaini at 10 and at least have two people in the box that can head the ball. Like, if that's going to be your main thing, then just do it unashamedly and go for it.
No, yeah, I'm sure that the going into this game, the approach was, you know, he set his team up differently than being 1-0 down at the start.
Right.
I think that just completely threw the tactics out the window.
But he didn't react to that.
Right. Someone brought up a good point. You talked about Valencia and the crossing to Ibra. Someone brought a good point and said, well, if that's your tactic, you know, if you want to admit it, play Valencia right forward. Just put him up there. Let him actually do what he does best, which is push it past the left back and put a cross in. Now he has to do it and also think about not leaving space behind him. Surely he'll do a better job than Lingard. Lingard's better than little tip if you want to pass, but clearly it's not working for you right now. Yeah. Put Valencia at the right wing and let's let him cross the ball.
And you know, I predicted a 0-0 for this game, which now looks ludicrous in hindsight. But we did see a 0-0 against Liverpool the previous week, who are a much more well-oiled unit than Chelsea are.
Mm. In terms of
and beaten this Chelsea team this season already.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea lost to Liverpool and Arsenal so far. And then absolutely mauled United. But anyways, let's move on. Alex, you got something?
Yeah, I just... Here's my question, though. You know, it would have been a bit awkward had Mourinho... Had his team scored a goal.
Mm.
And would he celebrate? Would he not? Were United just trying to save him the hassle?
Yeah. That's not a bad point. Be like, come on, you know, do it for the coach. Yeah. Don't score a goal.
Well, he did set up for 0-0.
I mean, he got mad at Conte. Conte celebrating his 4th goal. And he whispered that stuff in his ear saying, you know, why would you celebrate
that emphatic game? Something about being humiliated now. It's just all over the media.
It's distraction tactic.
Yeah.
It's just distraction, yeah.
It could be.
Anyways... City drew to Southampton 1-1 in the very early, well, Toronto time Sunday game. So Stones, obviously we're going to have to talk about it. He made the bad back pass.
Bad week for Stones.
Bad week for Stones, yeah, from the mauling at the Nou Camp. But, was it at the Nou Camp?
Yes,
it was. Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about this, Alison, I think, during our game on Sunday, and we said, well, do you tell Stones to just keep trying what Pep wants him to do, or does he cut it out and go for the safe options? And I think he should keep doing what Pep's asking him to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in my opinion, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, at least in the English media, whether you care about that or not. But if he cuts it out, people say, oh, well, why is, you know, he's supposed to be this kind of Rolls-Royce passing out the back kind of player, and now he's not doing it. And if he keeps doing it, once in a while, there'll be a horrendous mistake, and that's the consequence of error, right? Mm. Like, it's...
Well, they asked Guardiola, and they said, you know, is that really what you want to do? Is that how you want to play? And he was quite sarcastic, and he was like, well, of course that was a mistake. I mean, I my tactic is not to pass to the strike.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, yes, that's how I want to play, but not that specific incident.
I like that it's only taken about 8 weeks for the English media to piss Guardiola off with their really stupid questions.
They did it as well in midweek when they asked him about, like, other leagues, and they said, stop glorifying your league, like, and stop bringing down every other league. Like, it's way too narcissistic. Like, you know, you're not the only league around.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Guardiola has been saying some things, but I think he's just matched his worst ever run as a manager.
Four or five?
Five. Five games without a win.
That's a lot. I mean, neither Mourinho or Guardiola have won a game in October.
Yeah, what's going on? He started the season flying out of the blocks.
Well, City started the season, what, last season flying out of the blocks too, and then ended up, like, you never know.
Yeah.
But credit to Southampton, because they were excellent. They're really well organised. It's all right. Stop dropping things.
Yeah.
Nathan Redmond had to score two times in a row.
Because you took him out of your fantasy
team.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, earlier this season, we were questioning the Nathan Redmond to striker conversion experiment. And it seems to be going quite well at the moment.
To be fair, Southampton are a really hard team to beat. And they've been playing well this season. And when I saw, you know, the fixture, I thought City might not get a point here, especially after the midweek game. And, you know, this was at the Etihad too. So,
yeah,
it's 2 points dropped really for City at this point. But with all the other scores, I think they'll take it.
And what's respectable about Claude Puel as well is that... Puel as well?
Yeah.
He stuck with his system, his 4-4-2. I mean, not many people are going to go to the Etihad and play two strikers up front.
Yeah.
You know, so it's quite brave.
Are City playing United again?
Yes, in the EFL Trophy.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a rematch at
Either
Old Trafford.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
The EFL.
Cool. We'll see who they play, because I don't know if Mourinho wants to lose again.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
How do you set up your team? Do you set up to park the bus every week or what?
you tell me.
Yeah.
Home, away, it doesn't matter.
So a team that... I know. So I guess some people accused of parking the bus last season of playing on the counter are Leicester. Depending on how you want to look at it. You could say they parked the bus in a lot of games and played on the counter. But to be fair, they were so exciting on the other end that you forgot about that part.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
They beat Crystal Palace 3-1. They were 3-0 up, cruising in this game. Vardy got dropped because he hasn't scored in forever. I think it was like 8 games now or something.
Okay, I reject that notion.
That he was dropped?
Yeah.
Okay, so Okazaki played because he's really good?
Okazaki did play because he's really good.
Okay.
And Ranieri said as much in his post-match interview. But we've talked about the difference between Leicester this season and last season, and Okazaki is one of the main differences. Because we've said, like, if you're going to play 4-4-2 and you're missing Kante now, and now you have Vardy and Slimani, neither of whom do defensive work,
right,
then you're in trouble. So Okazaki comes back in and they immediately look better. But the other reason that I question whether Vardy was actually dropped is because when Mahrez was rested, did anyone say Mahrez was dropped? No. He was rested because of the Champions League.
Why is Vardy being rested?
No.
Champions League.
His pregame wine and Red Bull ritual surely covers up for
that. Well, he should be sacked for that.
Okay, I'll two things to your point. One, Mahrez was playing okay and he was coming back from Algeria from the World Cup qualifiers. That's when he was dropped. Well, dropped and, you know, rested. And I think with Vardy, the question is, here's a question. You want to play Okazaki, fair point. So you pick between Vardy and Slimani. And
Slimani picks scoring goals.
Exactly. Sure. So when you have to pick between your two strikers and you pick the other one, then the other one got dropped.
Fine, but then in midweek, Vardy will be playing.
Sure. I mean, you don't have to get dropped every game. He just got dropped this one.
Okay.
More importantly, Leicester beat an in-form Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and to be honest, Palace were not bad. They weren't, like, dominated in this game.
One thing I do want to say is, Christian Fuchs's goal was one of the goals of the week.
And wasn't it his first or something for Leicester?
First of this season, yeah.
No, like, ever.
No, he scored one last season.
Okay. Yeah, it was a great hit.
What a hit that was.
Freaking great strike.
Yeah, really, and I think that was commemorating a new 3-year deal or something. He just got...
3 years?
Yeah, I know.
Give him a 3-year deal every week.
He'll be at the club till he's like 70.
Yeah.
So Leicester get the 3 points here, which was important because they were going through... Well, bad form in the league, but in the Champions League, 3 wins out of 3. They've already qualified out of their group.
Pretty much.
First English team to, I think, ever do that.
3 out of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
And I missed this completely, but somehow they are unbeaten in 20 games at the King Power.
Oh, Fortress.
Fortress King Power Palace.
They were selling air from the stadium during the celebrations last year. But Leicester have been doing well in Europe. Whether or not they're a victim of their own success in the league because of the European fixtures still kind of undecided, undetermined.
Yeah, well, yeah, good point.
It's an interesting question, but it turns out, I was looking at this today, and it turns out they haven't lost their games after Champions League matches. They've lost away games in the build-up to Champions League matches.
Focus.
All right. Ahmed Musa, first goal.
Yes. Because we were making a little bit of fun last week.
Also because I took him out of my fantasy team.
Yeah, you should take Ibra out, Pogba out. Just like take all United players out of your team.
I took Ibra out and I put Rooney in.
Wow.
And he got injured.
You are not allowed in next week's pod. How could you put Rooney in?
It was going to be a wild card. I just felt like because they played Rooney against that
Europa League
team.
Yeah.
Who lost 4-1.
And he does get a few fluke assists.
Yeah, he did. I expected him to do that against Chelsea.
Quite literally a massive gamble.
Yeah. Good thing someone from the bench came in to replace him.
Nice. Liverpool beat West Brom 2-1. Liverpool, at least in the first half, looked so good.
Imperious.
They look, and you know what? I'm happy that I was vindicated by Klopp, personally. Because I told you last week that he drops Sturridge whenever he can. And, you know, let's argue he wasn't dropped, but he was. And the only reason Sturridge played last week against United in the drab 0-0 is because Lallana was injured. And I think Klopp doesn't see Sturridge playing in this interchangeable, little, nippy, quick guys. And you see it against United. He really slowed down the game.
I don't want to ruin your party or anything, but I'm not sure anyone's arguing that Sturridge is not his first choice. Like, right. Firmino in the false nine role is his first
choice. He looks good, but he missed a lot of, like, striker chances, would you think, well, Sturridge would have scored, but, you know, it's weird.
Of course, more importantly, the Tony Pulis West Bromwich Albion team shut down here at Anfield, even though they did claw a goal back.
Yeah.
They did, and to be fair, they looked quite dangerous. In the second half, like, they could have equalised.
So my criticism watching this game is thinking, well, Liverpool fans are going to be extremely happy with the performance so far, but come, like, 60th minute, and I'm thinking Liverpool really should have closed this game by now. It should be 3-4, game over, everybody relax. But they do that thing which they tend to do, which is they don't kill the game. Mm-hmm. And it's always in the balance. West Brom came back at the very end, Macaulay with the goal, and it looked a bit, you know, iffy. And Liverpool have that kind of weak, soft center a little bit.
To be honest, like, even when they have threatened to win the league in recent seasons, they've been winning games 3-0 at halftime. The game should be, it's over. It's 3-0 at halftime. But, you know, the second half, they don't score. They concede a goal. You know, things get shaky a little bit.
Yeah.
As you say, they're not killing the game. I think they just gotta change their tactic a little bit and be boring when they're up.
I think, you know, I agree because they get tired from the full press game as well. That when they kind of ease off that a little bit, it looks relatively worse than how the rest of the game was going. So it's all relative. They set the bar high in terms of the energy and the pressing that when they take a rest, it's very obvious in the game.
I would argue, too, that I'm not sure that they really have the players to be boring and solid. I mean, if you look at the bench, like, you're going to bring Lucas Leiva on to shore things up.
Which he did.
I think you should bring Sturridge on to kind of slow things down.
Nice, you could. But, like, if they had, like, a Wanyama-type figure to come in and just, like, knock people off the ball and help them kind of keep calm, I think that might be a good addition in January or the summer. But West Brom, 7 of their 10 goals have come from set pieces.
And the other 3 are Chadley.
So pieces and Chadley.
Are we surprised? I mean, Gareth McCauley has also scored 3 goals this season.
Yeah.
From seven headers?
Yeah.
No, against Liverpool was this. But from a corner.
Right.
Of course, yeah.
Liverpool's next 7 games are all against mid-lower table opposition. So
they'll be top of the table at Christmas?
They genuinely might. But taking that logic, Arsenal were supposed to spank Middlesbrough. And also, you know, easy run in coming. And the first result was 0-0 at the Emirates. So the logic always doesn't pan out.
Yes. This is the most disappointing game for me for the weekend. No, it wasn't the 4-0 against Chelsea that disappointed me.
Right.
It was because Theo Walcott was my fantasy team captain.
And did you get any points this week?
Somehow I got 49 points.
What?
Yes. Because Coutinho scored.
All okay, this that, complaining.
Hang on. Where's the rest of them coming from?
Lord knows, but I did well. Somehow I did well.
You don't get to complain. I have like 23 points. Yeah, okay. Anyways, so Arsenal came in here from their 6-0 to Ludogorets in the Champions League. Everybody's on a high. Ozil's on 4. Sanchez is killing it. Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, start with Elneny and Coquelin in midfield, which, you know, is bereft of any creativity. And the game goes incredibly boring. Middlesbrough have all the better clear-cut chances, and Arsenal are lucky to not lose the game.
How can Arsenal allow George Friend, keep a clean sheet at their own house?
That's a reasonable question. At their own house?
Yeah.
Come around my house, keep a clean sheet. Arsenal were poor. They looked tired. Mm. I mean, you can argue they shouldn't be because they strolled to a 6-0 win in midweek, but they did. They looked tired. And, I mean, here's a question. Based on this, hindsight's 20/20, but would you have rested more players against
Ludogorets? I'm sorry. There's no base to this. There's no 20/20. I clearly said this at Ludogorets. Xhaka has a 3-game ban in the Premier League. Why would he not start against Ludogorets? Why would Santi start when Santi's clearly being run into the ground? Like, I'm sorry. It's black and white. Xhaka got a red card in the Premier League. He plays every single game now that is not a Premier League game, including the EFL Cup on Tuesday. It's that simple. Why is he on the bench?
May I quickly just point out that it is impossible to run Santi into the ground. He's already in the ground.
That's a fair point.
Here's the point. A lot of Arsenal fans were saying, and we discussed this too, that Arsenal missed Santi Cazorla in this game.
Yeah.
And I will grant you that Coquelin and Elneny is not a very creative central midfield partnership. But what I'll also say is that Arsenal played Burnley. Was it last weekend?
Two weekends ago or something, yeah.
And they narrowly won in the last minute with a handball goal that never have stood.
Yeah.
And Santi Cazorla played that whole game.
Sure.
So I think the issue is, and we've seen this for years at Arsenal, is that they come up against, you know, lesser opposition who come to the Emirates and play 10 at the back.
Yeah.
And Arsenal struggled to find a way through.
Yeah, but last season played against
Ludogorets is a lesser opposition.
But they played a high line.
Yeah.
They were suicidal.
They're European. Yes, like, there we go. Yeah. I mean, look, I agree with you. And Arsenal have this issue when teams park the bus and play on the counter. And what happens is we get sucked in further and further higher up the field. And then the counter start to happen. We've seen it with Adama Traore in this game. He absolutely destroyed Monreal. He retired him, if anything.
He set a Premier League record.
37
kilometers an hour, the fastest sprint.
This season or ever?
Ever in Premier League history.
Wow.
Faster than Ronaldo.
Bale.
Woo! Yeah.
That's
He is a physical phenomenon. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, you described him as a house.
He is the size of a house.
I mean, to be
it's
fair,
a momentum.
When Barca let him go, and it's clear because he doesn't have that tiki-taka technique on him, and they don't want a runner that just pushes and goes.
Yeah, no.
But For Middlesbrough, it might work. But anyways, if you
had a player like Adama Traore in your lineup, you just have him start running from centre back.
Yep.
All the way up the field. You just pass
break
the ball
the offside trap,
and then just lump the ball forward.
Yeah, he's
gonna
beat.
Yeah, he's gonna
lump it forward to the lump.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, something like that. But there were times. I mean, Arsenal have some pacey players. And they could keep up with him, but he's so strong that they just bounced off him and fell down. It was really funny.
You reminded me of a point when you said that, is that when teams are parking the bus, it's almost thinking, is it worth playing Walcott against these teams? I mean, Ramsey is injured. When he comes back, you know, a Ramsey player would be way more useful against teams who park the bus. The same way as it will be, is more useful than Ox, let's say. So maybe it's worth looking into playing a Giroud or a Lucas and maybe moving Sanchez out wide. Like, do something different, because Walcott is not going to work against this kind of tactic.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that this is exactly the kind of game where Giroud becomes useful. Simple as that. You bring Giroud on at halftime or 70 minutes.
whoa.
Realistically, 70 minutes.
I'm sorry. He just thought that Arsene Wenger would make a change at halftime.
I was just speaking objectively. Okay. And that's something that's really going to help. And this is a season in which Arsenal do have a plan B once he's fit. Because, as everyone knows, plan B is just a striker that's a bit taller than your first choice striker.
Well, everyone's taller than Sanchez. Yeah. But also, to be fair, Mike Dean was ref, so we were never going to win this game.
Oh, true. You had a stat about this, Roche.
No, I think it was actually Mahana.
Oh, was it Mahana?
Yeah, it was 2 games out of, like, 17.
I thought Arsenal were top of that table.
No. With Mike Dean as a ref, we've won 2 out of 17 games, which is a really, really bad percentage, regardless of reasoning.
So what referees do you have in your pocket?
None. That's none. United, mate.
I think that's how you win the league.
Before we move on, two quick points. One is that Arsenal had their AGM.
Yes.
Their annual thing that... I don't know why. I never see any other clubs caring about this.
It's huge for Arsenal.
Yeah, it's very strange. Mm. But Stan Kroenke was there, and he was actually at the game this weekend, which is
funny.
He
was only there because the LA Rams are playing in the same week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Just to make sure.
But he said, on Arsene Wenger, he's been a wonderful influence on the club. We're all very high on Arsene. And that explains everything.
Yeah.
And of course he's kept his job. They're all on...
he's their drug dealer.
He's their drug.
Yeah. He's their drug. Yeah. Just injecting arsenic on a Saturday night.
Yes. Wow. And the final point on this game, Callum Chambers couldn't play, obviously, for Middlesbrough because he's on loan from Arsenal.
That's why they kept a clean sheet.
Yeah. They brought Ayala in to replace him and they looked a lot better.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, let's move on because this was a really disappointing game this weekend. Bournemouth Spurs started off the weekend on a high with a 0-0.
Yeah, another 0-0.
Yeah.
Moving on, please.
I was excited to see Wilshere play against Spurs, obviously. And he had a good game. Obviously, Wanyama knocked him about a few times, which is quite funny. But Bournemouth played really well. And they did well last game with a 6-0 drubbing of Hull. And then they kept Spurs at bay, which is not a bad result.
It's a very good result. And Eddie Howe actually said he was more proud of this result than he was the 6-1 against Hull, because games against Hull don't count. He didn't say the last bit.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But they matched Spurs' intensity, which is incredible, frankly, given what Spurs do.
Jack Wilshere?
19 minutes for the first time since 2013.
How do you feel about that? Getting a result against the Spurs.
Jack Wilshere?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm just glad for him that he's staying fit.
What do you think of Tottenham? Yeah, yeah. I know.
Jack Wilshere playing games and not being injured is really all I hope for.
Alex, tell us how you feel about Janssen, who was supposed to kill the league. How's he doing so far?
Sorry, when was he supposed to kill the league?
Like 3 weeks ago? He was like, he's great. He's going to slot right in.
He's a good player.
Oh, okay.
And he has slotted right in. The system that Tottenham play...
into Kane's early season form, yeah. Okay.
What?
Sure. Which
is
horrendous.
Supposed to be Harry Kane.
Well, Harry Kane is really bad at the start of the season, so Janssen is doing just fine.
Yeah, quite.
No, I mean, I genuinely think he is doing just fine.
Janssen
his link-up play is excellent. You know, he's missing occasional chances, but for the most part... He plays in the system and he creates a lot of chances for the attacking midfielders, which is basically how the system
Ali
works.
Ali is missing a lot of chances.
It's costing Tottenham, and he has said as much. But just on Spurs, they have not conceded a goal since Alderweireld got injured, which was a concern for them.
Wilmer play?
No, Dyer's come in to centre-back.
Then Wanyama plays, yeah.
And they still haven't conceded a goal from
Tottenham. But it's their system. We've seen it for the last 2-3 seasons in a row. Tottenham do not concede many goals.
Yeah, and
unless it's Newcastle on the final day.
Yeah, sure. And they're also... or some bad lasagna. But they're the only unbeaten team so far, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Obviously, the funny stat is that they're unbeaten and still below Arsenal.
It's the draws that they rack up.
Yeah, they, you know what?
Yes.
That is a very good point. You look at Spurs' results for the past few seasons, there's way too many draws.
Too many.
Especially early in the season.
Yeah.
True. That's when Harry Kane is firing. And it's just last season he was really slow out of the blocks. This season was the same. Burnley beat Everton 2-1. Steklenberg back to form.
Back to form.
Yeah.
The most inconsistent goalkeeper in the league.
Literally, the ball was rolling out of the field. Let's get a goal kick going. Restart the attack. Nope. I'm going to scoop it back into play.
Roche, any explanation?
Moo. That's
sure.
But on the field. Really.
Yeah. But this game actually had my favorite thing from the whole weekend.
Yeah.
The Bellassi goal.
Right.
This was bizarre.
Have you ever seen anyone knock Lukaku off the ball?
No.
Two strikers running the same trajectory.
Yeah.
But Lukaku had the ball.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was debatable. It wasn't like the ball came out
the
of a challenge.
The pass was for him.
He expected it back.
Yeah.
No, but...
Yeah.
But...
You're right.
Yeah. I guess Lukaku did expect it back. I'm not quite sure. But the fact is, Lukaku didn't even see Bellassi coming.
Mm.
If you watch it, Bellassi just takes it and Lukaku then realizes and is like, okay.
Well, I think what happened was when I saw that, it was a bit far away from goal and Bellassi thought, I'm faster, so I'm going to knock it and take it. And but, you know, that was fun to see.
And I'm going to say, Bellassi made it an ugly goal. Mm. I don't care. I mean, you know, he's happy they scored, great. But, it would have been a lot more aesthetically pleasing had Lukaku scored that goal.
It's more fun for Lukaku to score, than Bellassi.
If he crossed it back in, it would have been more visually appealing. It would also give me more fantasy points.
Yes, this pod is sponsored by Roche's Fantasy.
Not in this for the love of the game. But the only real explanation I can think of is Bellassi saw it was on the right, Lukaku's very left-footed.
Mm. You're giving Bellassi a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Thinking that he thought of all of it. No, he just wandered the ball. He's like, this
but
is
But, like, damn good thing he scored.
Oh.
Otherwise, you've got a mutiny on your hands.
Lukaku would have blown his head off.
That would be great to watch.
See? Entertaining. You don't get fantasy points for that, but it is a lot of fun.
How many points do you get for murder?
Yeah. Stoke beat Hull 2-0.
Shaqiri, guys. What? A Canadian scored against Everton.
Oh, Scott Arfield.
Was get that the in, winner? Son. That was a winner, wasn't
it? It's the winner. Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's great to see. And, I know. I mean, as long as he brings the form to the Canadian men's national team.
Yes.
Not happening.
Why?
Arfield needs to bring it to Arfield.
It's like a beluga. How lost the Stoke 2-0? You see that? I didn't repeat myself.
So this confirmed my allegations that Mick Phelan is retired now that he got the job.
Yeah, I mean, you work, it's like Adebayor. You work really hard for that contract, and then you're like, I'm done, man. Like, I'm done. So, I'm really glad that, what's his name, didn't score here? Stoke midfielder that has been on fire. Because everyone put him on their fantasy team.
Joe Allen. And by everyone, you mean Bernie.
Yes, exactly. I think everyone's happy about that.
Yeah. Shaqiri. Ooh, what a finish.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, plump.
What? A plump.
Just like him.
Okay. He is nice and stocky.
He's quite a troll.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had one of the most bizarre post-match interviews I've ever heard.
I didn't see it.
It was radio, I think, but it was BBC Radio. And the interviewer, I can't remember who she was, but she kept just like telling him how great the goal was. And he kept, like, she was like, so that was a great goal you scored today. You must be really happy about it. He's like, yeah, it was a great goal. I'm really happy.
What's
about
the follow-up question?
And he's really like, he's not humble at all. So he loved talking about it. But then she's like, it was such a beautiful goal. Are you going to have a beautiful celebration tonight? And he's like, yeah, my family's here. We're going to have dinner or something.
To be fair, she was probably talking about Arnautovic getting in on that party because he looks like an insane character.
He does.
He really does.
He does.
He's like best friends with Zlatan, isn't he? Like, can you imagine them on a night out?
Oh, no. It would be magic.
No.
But just a quick...
Mayhem.
Can we have a quick Mark Hughes check-in?
Sure.
Okay. Because post-match, he's always good for a quote.
Yeah.
And he said this week, people questioned us at the beginning, but now we're allowing people to see our level. I'm like, yeah, you beat Hull.
Yeah, well done. Ooh, Bournemouth beat 6-0 the week before.
Yeah.
So Hull are -8 from 2 games. Well done. Next game, I'm just going to read what Alex here has as notes. So Swansea 0, Watford 0, sawed off. Moving on to this.
Completely sawed off. All right, next is West Ham 1, Sunderland 0.
West Ham really saved themselves here.
This is so funny.
Here, West Ham saved themselves.
It was great because David Moyes got absolute, like... You know, this like whole David Moyes, like, come to the club. All right, guys, it's going to be a long winter. We're going to be chances. You're going to have to keep them out.
Keep Defoe warm.
Yeah, yeah. Chop all this defensive crap.
And then they just lose 1-0 at the West Ham in the 94th minute.
Yeah, Winston Reid, what a finish from the centre back.
It wasn't a header.
No, and he said himself, I practiced in training. They all went over the bar. So, you know, good timing there. Moyes, again, with another Moyes check-in, because he's always great for those. I thought the players played well. Not in the opening 20 minutes. They bossed us. But we got through it and had good chances.
Wow.
I can't get over Moyes.
Yep.
We were great, apart from when we weren't.
He hadn't won a game in 942 minutes of Premier League football.
Yeah, I can't believe this guy was part of a Manchester United manager.
Can you believe that Alex Ferguson...
Like, appointed!
And stood strongly behind the appointment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thwarted Jose Mourinho in his heyday.
Also, wasn't Carlo Ancelotti kind of available?
A little bit? At that time?
No?
I don't think he was.
No?
Perhaps he was. On par with Ferguson's transfer decision to buy Bebe.
Yeah, it's also nepotism. It's Scottish guys, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I will say in Moyes' defense... At the time, he did look like a good manager, and now he just looks terrible.
Too bad Moyes has no defense, though.
Rashid's just making strange noises today.
Well, I mean, that is strange noises. I think we should just move on to Momo.
Abu Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
All right, so our first movie of the week is presented by Tim Sherwood himself in the studio.
Press high. They played Tottenham twice last year. They got their ass. They got problems.
Like, their backsides.
Yeah. Let's hear that one more time.
Press high. They played Tottenham twice last year. They got their ass. They got problems.
They got their what? Like
their he got so flustered the minute he said got their asses. And then the other guy tries to go butts.
Their backsides. We're gonna cut to commercial really quick.
this is why. When you're working in the media, you need to be relatively articulate.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
It's actually shocking.
Professional, even.
It's shocking to think that man delivered team talks.
Well, I mean, that's what you need, though, I think, at team talks. Just swearing as hard as you can.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Just throwing teacups, you know.
Gelees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great. Great. I love how he got so flustered when he didn't know how to recover from saying ass on TV.
It was fantastic. It was like last week on our pod when Bernie swore and he didn't mean to and he didn't know what to do about
it. Like, I'm done with the sentence. Someone else take over.
All right. Second Mumu, and this is honestly one of my favorites of all time. Kai Kamara, who plays for New England Revolution. This is me going on about being articulate.
Yeah.
During their 3-0 win over Montreal Impact, he scored a goal and he celebrated with a light twerk.
It was pretty good.
It wasn't bad, to be honest. It was better than any of us could have done.
Sure.
I mean, Bernie might dispute that.
Yeah.
It was a light twerk and the referee booked him for it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, we've seen players get booked for celebrations before, but this one didn't incite a riot.
What is the rule? The rule is like to incite the other opposition fans to like kind of riot and get angry. And
yeah.
Is that again? Maybe it was in front of the opposition fans?
Maybe it's like children shouldn't see twerking?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of like American football where they've cancelled the celebrations now. Like you have to just like put the ball down and walk away.
There's a limit to celebrations. It's gamesmanship, you know?
Right. I felt it wasn't that bad. It was a nice dance.
It's not the classiest of celebrations, to be fair.
Sure, but it's just dancing.
Yeah.
Like the Brazilian players would all get sent off all the time if they got booked for dancing.
To be fair, I'd give Stars a red card every time he does a stupid flailing arm stuff.
Wow.
Abi Mumu.
One thing. We're all going to have dinner later, but for now, it is time for a European antipasto. And we're going to start in Spain, even though that's Italian. And Roche, why don't you tell us about Espanyol 3, Eibar 3?
Yeah, it was a great game. Probably one of the lower profile games of the week, but you know how those pull up some gems. So Eibar, playing away from home, were actually up 3-0 in this game. Much to the chagrin of the Espanyol supporters.
Well, yes, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, quite. Yeah. But then they were also down to 10 men, Espanyol.
Huh?
Oh. Yeah,
a red card.
So this is one of the most epic comebacks of...
It was quite epic. The crowd was celebrating wildly.
I mean, you would. You were 3-0 down with a man out.
Yeah.
And you'd think, well, this is it.
I mean, the question remains, why are you 3-0 down to Eibar?
Right. I mean, I'm assuming at halftime the Espanyol coach went, lads, it's Eibar.
Yeah. Good reference, yeah.
The other game was Villarreal, Las Palmas. Villarreal won there. Kevin Prince Boateng.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure why Villarreal won that game, because Kevin Prince Boateng's goal should have been counted for 3.
Do you think?
That should have been a 3-1.
Well, it was like I saw someone describe it as a beach soccer goal. And it was. There's flicks and tricks and volleys. It was fantastic.
He has one of those in his locker once in a while, eh?
He does.
Yeah.
He's also Roche's like favourite player.
It was the assist that made this goal.
It was a very good assist.
What an assist.
Yeah.
And the ball was in the air the whole time.
It was fantastic. Yeah, that's why it's beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Madrid beat Bilbao 2-1. So this game wasn't that straightforward for Madrid.
Let's get straight to it. Ronaldo completely selfish prick.
Thank you, because that's all I want to talk about.
Yes, let's do it. Begin. Mohamed unleashed.
2-1. He's going on the goal. Morata's in acres behind them. Even if he missed it, Cruz in double acres, and Ronaldo's like, "Nah, this is mine."
Yeah.
I think they won a game 5-0 recently, which Ronaldo didn't score at, and he must be seething.
Yes.
He's like, "This is my, I gotta score now." And the problem is, you see Morata and Cruz couldn't really show their frustration because they thought, well, it's Ronaldo, let's take it easy. Like, it's like they pamper him. And then if that was Ronaldo on the edge and Benzema took the shot, oh, hell would have broken loose.
Nuts. But there was someone else. There was a third player that enters the screen and he did have a go at Ronaldo.
Maybe
Isco. I can't remember who it was. Maybe.
Good lad.
Or maybe it was Vasquez. I couldn't quite work out.
Oh, Vasquez was. He came on and played right. To be fair, I brought up Isco, but. I'm really glad he's playing now, because Zidane's picking him over James, which I think is completely fair. And when Isco first joined Madrid and he was doing his thing, I thought he's going to be fantastic. He's going to play week in, week out. He's going to look really good. And it hasn't really worked out for him so far. And he's one of those players that I really wish would just get back on track. He's one of those guys which Liverpool were rumored to buy, and he would kind of fit in their little guy running around thing.
Mm.
And I just want to see him play a lot more. He's a great player.
Is he the Spanish Jack Wilshere?
I mean, definitely the Welsh Chaffee.
But here's the thing. Sorry, Roche.
I was going to quickly add about Ronaldo. He's currently negotiating a 5-year deal, which has led to some stalling because, obviously...
5 years? Isn't he like 50?
Exactly. That's exactly why it's stalling, and he's probably sad and upset.
Aww.
And this time, no one gives a hoot.
Yeah, well, Marcelo's his best friend. He's probably like, don't worry, Ronaldo.
Can we talk about Marcelo for a second?
Yes.
The range of passes... Okay, I only saw the highlights of this game,
yep.
And within 6 minutes of highlights, I must have seen about 5 or 6 world-class passes from Marcelo. Left foot, right foot, stop dropping things outside of the boot, inside, everything.
How many times when I was in frustration mode about Arsenal in the past 3-4 seasons did I, every time I compare their play, I say, oh my God, Madrid's left back has better technique than all our left wingers combined.
Right.
Like, yeah. He's just so good on the ball. That
he's great.
Is he a wasted left back? I don't know. If he wasn't playing for Madrid, I think in most other teams, he would play left forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think he has so much license to go forward because of who he plays for.
Yeah.
And, you know, the system is built so that he's covered. So, yeah, it's fine.
Big shout out before I move on to Carvajal. He's playing really well recently. He's had a great game this game as well. He looks really solid, especially when Danilo comes in and looks absolute trash whenever he replaces him. Carvajal has been one of those quiet, really steady. He's been like the Aspie of Madrid.
He's a dogged bugger.
Mm. Yeah. He is.
Very determined player.
If you want a hint into the future of Danilo, I downloaded Football Manager Beta the other day, FM17.
You mean Beta?
Sure. Danilo starts on the transfer list.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah, just saying. But just another quick thing on Real Madrid. Morata obviously scored the winner, what turned out to be the winner. Zidane after the game said he deserves more playing time. I'm going to give it to him. I wish I had a live camera of Benzema's face as that was being said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To be fair, Benzema did score a goal as well in this game.
Well, this is the thing. Like, Benzema's playing well, so I'm not sure how you figured that out. But the other quick thing, Iñaki Williams.
You do realize we've done 6 quick things.
Yeah, sure. Another quick thing. Yeah. Iñaki Williams for Bilbao had some glorious chances.
The thing is, he's in the right place, right time. He's doing the right thing all the way up to just putting it in the back of the net. And it was so frustrating to see.
So frustrating.
Yeah. And it was another surprise. I don't know why I said another, because Madrid beat Bilbao. But Sevilla beat Atleti 1-0. Sevilla have been on a great run of form right now. And Zonzi, absolute beast, killing it in midfield for them.
He really is.
He really is. And Nasri has just flourished. I mean, he's looked like a really good player, which we know he is, but we just forget once in a while because of all the drama he goes through and all that. But he's a fantastic player. And I was telling you recently that I think the fork in the road for Nasri was picking City over United. I think had he picked United in that transfer season, I think his career would have gone in a completely different way. United have not had that player. They've tried with Mata recently, but since when Nasri left Arsenal, I think he would be such a mainstay at that number 10 for United that his career would have changed completely.
I don't know. He's gotten a little chunky.
Mm.
But, I mean, he's playing in La Liga as well. It's different from the Premier League.
But he could have... I mean, don't pull a Pep. Yeah. Where, like, I'm going to have to tell you that La Liga is in weak. Especially this season, where we're seeing a lot of surprises.
Well, you know what? Pep's not winning in the Premier League, so...
Oh, wow.
Credibility.
Okay. I reject that point. But here's the thing about Nasri. Had he gone to United, yes, initially it would have been better. But I feel like as soon as Ferguson left...
Yeah, he got Pep.
It would have all gone downhill very quickly.
David Moyes is United.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like Nasri just has a tendency to let that happen. But I don't know. Maybe. It's just...
Yeah.
David Moyes would have loved to have him. He signed Nani to a 5-year deal for crying out loud.
Yeah. True. But Nani and Nasri. Guys, Nasri isn't a bad player.
No, he's not a bad player, but he's wasted years being a prick.
Right.
That's the problem.
But like, I think slowly he's bringing it back. Slowly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sampaoli's not going to let him get away with anything. Look, this is the thing. Like, Sampaoli's a nutcase.
True. And also, to think sometimes that moving to La Liga just takes the pressure a bit off you, because the media in the Premier League, and it puts so much... Like, Nasri barely got a game for 2 years or so, and he was in the news so much. Like, imagine being in the news when you don't even play. Imagine when you're playing. So I think moving to La Liga, I think La Liga is still a very strong league, and you have to prove yourself. You have to be a good player to play, especially in a team like Sevilla. But it takes the pressure off. You're not watched week in, week out, and you're mostly kind of seen internationally outside La Liga when you play well. So like, ooh, Nasri's been playing well. But if he's playing bad, it's kind of like no one cares. No one kind of sees you do that. And I think that helps a little bit with pressure.
I think that's a pretty good point. On Atleti, they missed a bunch of chances. Gamero especially was guilty of that.
Yeah.
And this is their first defeat of the season.
Mm, yeah. Sure.
That's all.
Good okay. Moving on to some absolutely disgusting refereeing. Barcelona beat Valencia 3-2. Valencia always give Barcelona a hard time. I think the game we were at on our Euro trip, Valencia actually beat Barcelona.
At the Camp Nou.
So this game ended 3-2. The reason I say the ref mistakes is that Valencia had 2 penalties which could have been easily given. Barca's first goal was definitely offside. And, you know, if you look at that, the game ends like 4-1 or 4-2 to Valencia. So, you know, it's a shame. But at the end of the day, Barcelona do what they have to do to get it done. Iniesta with a horrific injury. People thought it was like 4 months earlier, like at the start, but it looks like it's only 3 weeks or so.
Really? Yeah. I even read today that it was...
I heard it might be 3 or 4 weeks only.
Well, but I hope so, but we'll see.
Initially, I thought he was going to be out for the season, so much better.
Yeah, relatively. It's just, that's how you should do it. Out for 5 years. Ah, it's only a year.
Dead. No, he's only out for 2 weeks.
So I have a question for you both. So Munir, who was on loan at Valencia, scored in this game, which is kind of fun. In the Premier League, Mahana and I were discussing this, but most clubs put in a clause when they have a loan deal that says the player, like we were discussing with Chambers
Callum
earlier,
Chambers,
can't play against their home team. Doesn't seem to be the case in La Liga. Would you like to see that more in the Premier League? Because personally, I think it's great.
I would like to see
it. I don't see why. I mean, I get it. You're giving your asset away to help this other team be, well, assumingly better. So then let's not use it against us. Okay, but it's one game. And usually you loan players out to weaker sides. Like
it can go both ways, though. It's like you're giving your asset away. That's one. But you're also allowing this player to get playing time. You want him to get playing time, so he's not going to cause unrest in your squad.
And and to be fair, you bring up a good point, which when I say, like, I don't want it to be against me. But yeah, that team, you're kind of using them. First, they take their wages on most of the time, and you're using them to develop your guy, and you're going to get him back. So,
Or, just to play devil's advocate, does it take the pressure off the player who is put in a slightly uncomfortable position?
Yeah, like Wilshere playing for Bournemouth at the Emirates against Arsenal would be a bit, depends on the situation, but yeah. Anyways.
I just thought it was nice to see Munir score against Barcelona.
I don't understand why Munir's out on loan, since they literally have no strikers outside of the top three. They have no one outside of...
Oh, Paco Alcacer. He came in and they let Munir go, right?
Yeah, I guess. So
but
Madrid,
it's still a valid question.
Yeah, Madrid are top of the table with a really good goal difference of 15 on 21 points. Sevilla in second with a goal difference of 5. The Tottenham of the league. So
setting themselves up for a nice Europa League finish.
Yeah, or win. On 20 points. Barca in third at 19, tied with Villarreal. Atleti at 18. It's quite a tight table. At this point, usually every season, Madrid and Barca are ways away ahead, with Barca 3 points ahead, because Madrid have won that lost that random game.
Yeah. Even Bilbao in sixth are only 3 points off Atletico Madrid, so like it's really tight and it's really interesting.
The Clásico soon should be quite exciting. And it's funny, I think the English TV or whatever cannot show a Clásico, like they just can't because of like deals and stuff. It's quite annoying.
Great, excellent.
No, best game of the season, mate.
Oh no, they'll find another way to see it.
Yeah,
absolutely, sure. Bypassing those channels.
Let's move on to Italy, since Alex started with the antipasto. I thought it was antipasti.
It's plural.
Alex, Italian 101.
He was in Italy recently on a scouting mission.
But this is the thing, right? You'll see everywhere, you'll see places that say, we sell panini. But that is the plural, right? So you can't order a panini.
You order a panino?
Yeah. But no one knows this. And so everywhere, you order a panini because you have to, because that's what they know it.
And that's how they charge you the visiting tax.
I think we've really let some things out here. Like, you've been holding it in. Just the panini, panino thing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you walk up to them and say, actually, it's a panino, you'll get the local price, which will be great.
Panino, mini, mini, mo.
Okay. That's when you're trying to pick a panini. Milan beat Juventus 1-0.
What a shock result. Calciopoli.
Against Juve?
Yeah, usually you say Calciopoli when Juventus wins.
Yeah, it's Calciopoli.
No, because Juventus got relegated because of Calciopoli.
Yeah. True. 18-year-old Locatelli scoring again.
Man, this is 2 in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Last week he cried. This week... This week he gave like a really cute speech after. He's like, I want to thank my mom and my dad and my cousins and everyone.
Can you imagine growing up and playing for your team that you supported your whole life, your whole family, your grandfather? Like,
It's incredible. And it was an absolutely brilliant goal.
It was
just... What a strike.
And against the mighty Buffon.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
And you've got, you know, there are so many aspects to this game. You've got, you know, Juventus have a very old team on average age.
A mature team.
A mature team, sure. Buffon takes the average age up, you know, by a million.
PGA.
Or Barzagli as well.
Yeah.
And then Milan have
Valdes
the young.
Valdes isn't young.
Who?
Valdes. Alves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Milan have the youngest squad in Serie A, which is not something you usually associate with Milan. And
they've been quietly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sitting at third, only 2 points behind Juve. And at this point, we said, yeah, Bayern done, Juve done. But at this point, I mean, sure, Juve might pull away, but they haven't looked good. I mean, Alves at right back has been their best player all season. That says a little bit. Dybala's out for 4 weeks or something, too.
So that's a key player out. But Juventus, actually, this is how they start the season. They start, you know, strong, but somehow they're first.
Yeah.
Because Roma keep losing when they lose. Mm. And they go on to win the league by 10 points.
Apart from this week, where Roma won, beat Palermo 4-1 at home.
Yep.
When Juventus lost. It's a landmark occasion.
Wow.
When Dzeko scores, Roma wins.
You said this last week.
I say it every week because literally it's so annoying that El Shaarawy, Mo Salah, they all play well. Midfield looks good. It's just Dzeko is that guy. He does well. They will do well all season.
Well, they all of them scored this week. Dzeko scored, Salah scored, El Shaarawy scored, and Paredes scored. And here's the thing.
Your boy.
Ah, balls on Paredes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
Paredes and El Shaarawy are dabbing together.
That's bad. That's terrible.
No.
It's very unfortunate.
They think they're Lingard and Pogba,
I guess.
Except they score goals.
Of the Italian.
Hey. But yeah, so Roma won there. Inter lost. Boo. Yeah. Adair with a great goal.
When a team's doing so badly, sometimes like you just want to see them get absolutely thrashed.
That's the thing, you want it to do worse and worse and worse. Yeah. Just might as well. Yeah.
It was 2-1 losses in 2 weeks. And the best thing about this was they went 1-0 down. They played, they struggled hard, they fought back. Adair scored a fantastic goal to get 1-1.
Great
and then David Santon just made the most stupid tackle of all time to give away a penalty. And you're like, that's why they tried to sell you to Santon.
Oh, I can't believe, like, I remember him in the Premier League and he just looked like he didn't want to defend.
He's
a defender that doesn't want to defend. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Juve at the top, Roma second, Milan also tied in second, Napoli in fourth. So quite a tight table. All tables in all leagues so far are quite tight, actually.
Yeah, I mean, even Bayern Munich aren't that far ahead.
No, they're not doing
that. Wow, shocking.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some local TFC stuff.
Yes. On to the Toronto FC segment, and this week we have got an update from sports journalist and friend of the show, Kieron Breen, who was at BMO Field as Toronto FC took on Chicago Fire. So let's hear from that, and we'll join you in a couple of minutes.
Nice. That's how Toronto FC captain Michael Bradley described the feeling of knowing his team's playoff fit after a 3-2 victory over Chicago Fire at BMO Field Sunday. The result snapped a 5-game winless streak for the Reds, but with New York City prevailing over the visiting Columbus Crew, TFC finished the day where they started, third place in the Eastern Conference. That sets up an historic first-ever home playoff tie in franchise history on Wednesday night, when they will face the Philadelphia Union in a one-off knockout game for the privilege of facing New York City FC in the two-legged conference semifinals. Bradley, in his third year as a Red, said there was a certain kind of relief at setting the regular season behind them and preparing for the biggest game in the club's 10-year history. That regular season finished with a flourish as TFC stormed back from a goal down to put out the Fire with attacking force. Sebastian Giovinco equalized from the penalty spot after being tripped in the area, cancelling out Michael Deleu's opener, which rather squirmed through the legs of Toronto goalkeeper Clint Irwin. In the second half, Giovinco bamboozled the Chicago defense before crossing for left-back Justin Morrow to head home from close range. Morrow now has 5 goals on the season and said after the game that defenders, and fullbacks in particular, don't get enough recognition in Major League Soccer. A good postseason talking point for sure, with award season almost upon us. For once, Jonathan Osorio forced the opposition into falling over their own feet rather than tripping over his own. To be fair to Toronto-born Osorio, it was a very tidy finish, and it made the MLS Plays of the Week highlight reel. Chicago nabbed a consolation, but the final whistle signaled a morale-boosting win for TFC, and some joy for their boisterous fans after a nervy end to the season. Those fans will be back in full voice at BMO Field on Wednesday for what is sure to be a special night in Toronto soccer history. Philadelphia failed to win any of their last seven games, but secured a 1-1 draw when they last visited Hogtown back in September. But the form book surely goes out the window for this one, and make no mistake, that window will be tinted bright red come Wednesday night. Yes, the Raptors opened their season at home that same evening, but even the Weedon North boys would forgive you for keeping your eye on a more beautiful ball across town. Don't miss it. And the last word goes to the little boy wonder himself, Giovinco, who said on Monday afternoon, "This is my city. I want it to be my city."
Thank you for that, Kieron. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, he is @keep_score. That's @keep_score. Didn't think about how that would sound before I said it. But thank you for listening to the Koshcast, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @__thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.